Let us read a word of God before we pray from Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. I believe it is a glorious word, but also a profound word and an admonishing word. May God grant us grace to take to heart all the words we have heard, and we do not need to judge one another, but each of us must look into the mirror of the word to see how we look. I for myself and you for yourself, that's what God's word is given to us for. We want to thank God for his precious and holy word. May he lead and guide us through this hour and bless us from the riches of his grace. Let us rise to pray together. Faithful God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this day which you have once again given us by grace. Lord, we thank you for your precious and holy word which we could once again hear and read together. Lord, may it not only have penetrated our ears, but may it have fallen into our hearts. Lord, may we see ourselves as we look. Faithful God, give grace. Not that we want to condemn anyone with it, but give grace that we align ourselves with your word and everything that is written, that we do accordingly, Lord. Lord, we also thank you especially for the weekend, for all the precious words that you have given us by grace. Lord, to your name be honor and worship. We have much reason to thank and praise you and bring you honor and praise. Lord, we want to do it. Grant that our hearts may be filled all the time with songs of praise, with psalms, with hymns, with spiritual songs, Lord, that we may offer you from the bottom of our hearts. Fill our hearts, Lord, so that we may become full of your glory, and give us your precious and holy word again this evening. Help, O Lord, who need help. Heal, O Lord, who are perhaps sick or depressed. Give grace, Lord, and help all, faithful God. We are not able to help, but we look up to you, Lord, from whom all help comes, and our help comes from you, the living God, who created heaven and earth. Praise and honor, thanks and worship to your name. Grant us also grace, Lord, that we may put on, as God's chosen ones, as saints and beloved, heartfelt mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Give it to me, give it to all of us, O God. For this we come together again and again, and we ask you, help us in this evil and wicked world in which we live, Lord, that we may be ready when you want to take us home into your kingdom and into your glory. Continue to be with us now when we will hear your word. Give us open ears and open hearts that we may receive and act accordingly. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. We have heard marvelous words here in Colossians 3, and every time we ask ourselves how far we have progressed spiritually, what God has already been able to do for us, and the thought that came to me as I was reading was this: if God has been able to make us new on the inside, we will be able to put off the old. But it really begins in the heart. It starts at the very core of our being. All outward putting off lead to nothing if it had not become new inwardly. And that's why, if you read the first chapter of Colossians here, the apostle has already said a great deal. Among other things, in chapter 1, verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. This actually says a great deal. It is a finished work of redemption that God has done in Christ. But it happened to you and to me. You were redeemed, I was redeemed. We were saved together from the realm. Here it even says, from the power of darkness. The darkness had control over us. We were rescued from the power of darkness and at the same time translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. We have emphasized verse 4 of Colossians 3 again and again. When Christ will be revealed in our life, then we too will be revealed together with Him in glory. Not as a thought or knowledge or doctrine, but as a truly divine reality. We have said this again and again. Christ was not a doctrine or a knowledge. He was God revealed in human form. He was reality. He was the Word made flesh, walking on earth. It must be the same with us. Firstly, it was also with Him the word of promise, which was effective in the prophets and went forth through them, and then the word became flesh. So there are also a number of promises for us in the Word of God. But if we have been born again through the Word and the Spirit, then these promises must become reality in us. We must be able to say, here the Scriptures have been fulfilled, as it was always said of our Lord, that it might be fulfilled what is written. Whether it was in Isaiah or Ezekiel, wherever, it didn't matter. But what was written was always fulfilled in Him. So we must also reach the point where we can say, truly, God's Word is being fulfilled here. Let's assume that our sister was seriously ill, and we go there, pray, anoint with oil, and believe that the prayer will help her to believe, and God has done it. Then you can say afterwards, nothing extraordinary has happened here. God has only fulfilled what He said in Mark 16 or what is written in James 5. I mean, it is something great that God has done. But then we can put our finger on the Scripture and say, this word has been fulfilled in me. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And Brother Branham was certainly led by the Spirit to take the word from Hebrews 13, verse 8, as a direct guiding word for His entire ministry. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we can then say, yes, that's right, here it has been revealed, here the Lord did this, here he did that, here he worked like this, here he confirmed this word. If such testimonies could then be heard, we would all be blessed. And the word read out is surely intended to bring us into this state with God, so that God's word is fulfilled in us. You still remember the excerpts that were read from Brother Branham's sermon. The church represents the body of the Lord, and he as the head is dependent on his members in order to be able to work through them. And when he gets us there, we have seen it here, one is the putting off, and then it is the putting on. It speaks of both here. You cannot take something new and put it on the old, but the old must be taken off. We then take off the bad things that catch the eye. But then come the lesser things that are listed here with anger, with bitterness, with malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouth. And then it says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This has been stated here as a fact, and because it is so, it must become a fact in our lives. There is no other way. With God, we are not dealing with theory, but with the realization of all that he has promised. And as was said here, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That is how it should be. At some point, a brother wrote to me, we have just answered the letter from the USA, and in this letter it said, under such and such conditions, the brothers in America would forgive you too. I didn't harm a hair on anyone's head. I only helped everyone. None of them had a platform, and I've given it to all of them. And they want to forgive me, even though I haven't done anything to them. Very generous. It's a time when people can't place things properly. It's a time when everything is really going haywire, both on an earthly and spiritual level. It is absolutely necessary to get a spiritual overview and then walk the path we have to walk. How can I forgive you if there is nothing? What should I do for you? Or me or someone else? No, we have to get divine clarity about divine things. And we have to go our way with God. And we have to let everyone else go their way with God. Sometimes it can happen that someone goes a short distance on a path that others don't understand. But it doesn't get better by talking about it. Then it gets worse. Only then does it get really bad. It's not bad at all before that. Only then does the misery set in. But there were a few more scriptures. I didn't read the word, Brother Rus did. But it's always God's word, no matter who reads it. But here, in James 2, for example, it says, in verse 8, James 2, verse 8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Regardless of the person, you must leave all things alone. And as I said earlier, go your way with God. And he who walks in the light does not stumble. And if someone falls over something, then you don't have to berate the thing, but ask yourself where you were looking before you stumbled. And he who walks in the light walks with God, and God with him. But here, we actually have the invitation or the encouragement. But if you fulfill the royal law, there is a royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, then you are doing right. But if you look at the person, you are committing sin. You absolutely have to go your own way with God. And as I just said, everyone has to do that for themselves. There was one more word that I wanted to read, and that is in Romans chapter 10. In chapter 9, which we want to refer to very briefly, Paul explains the matter with the people of Israel. And he then comes to the conclusion in verse 32, or perhaps from verse 31. Romans 9, from verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but, as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Here I was mainly concerned with the idea of faith and then also unbelief. This is talking about the people of Israel who sought righteousness. And it can happen, and I'm not excluding myself from this, but including myself. We have a very pronounced sense of justice when we apply the standard to others. We know exactly what God demands, and we are in favor of justice to the end. Of course, when it comes to us, the step is a little shorter, the breath not quite so long. But let's stay here with the people of Israel. Then it's not so personal. Then we will be spared. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, and it has to be said, they washed the pots and did everything they could. They knew exactly when the Sabbath began and when it ended, what they were allowed to do and what they were not allowed to do, and have confronted the Lord and wanted to convict Him, that He, we all know He was the lawgiver as Yahweh, not as Jesus, but as Yahweh, and they wanted to convict Him. If it had been about righteousness according to the law, then Paul says, where is it in his testimony here? Somewhere. He has been found blameless. Who knows the scripture where he says that he was found blameless according to the law? Probably in his testimony. Maybe Galatians 1. You all know that scripture. Here, in these words, we have actually said everything. Everything God had to say to us. Righteousness, yes. God's righteousness, yes. The goal set by the law, yes. But everything can only be achieved on the path of faith. A songwriter sings, only the path of faith is safe. And we'll come now to the path of faith. Israel wanted to achieve the righteousness they were striving for and reach the goal. And it didn't happen. And it's written here in the Bible, in verse 22, the question, why not? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Yes, but the works were required by the law. Because they sought it not by faith, they stumbled at that stumbling stone. A person who walks by faith does not stumble, neither against himself nor against others. And those who offend others must have horns. You just have to take it as it is. If it were according to the righteousness demanded by the law, then we all know that God has shut them all up together under unbelief, because they all fell short, because none of them could fulfill the law. And He has redeemed them all by grace. And now only one thing remains for us, and that is the path of faith. Only the path of faith is safe, as the song goes. And then it concludes with this, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. And now we come very quickly to Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. What use is all the zeal, all the commitment, all the endeavor? What value does it have in the end if it is not done in a way that is pleasing to God, in a way that he has willed and ordered. Paul says here, but not according to knowledge. And now comes verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. These are powerful words. They are words that we cannot simply let go of so quickly. How often do you hear? Yes, they are also preaching from the Bible. That's not the point at all. The point is that we understand God, that we allow ourselves to be part of His plan. Just imagine if God had a righteousness ready for us through the finished work of redemption on Golgotha, and we would leave that to the right or left and be busy working out our own salvation, then what good is what God has done or provided for us? Let us read it again. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, not their own, their own righteousness was so valuable to them that they handled it. But the righteousness of God, as it says here, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, how did they ignore? Those who do not recognize it, ignore it. And he who does not accept it, rejects it. And that is why it is written here, and going about to establish their own righteousness. Yes, if I want to use my diligence to bring my own righteousness to bear, what has God justified me for? Where then is the righteousness of God that the Holy Scriptures speak of? But let me emphasize this clearly. All those who have ignored God's righteousness are busy building up their own righteousness, are busy achieving their goal in their own way. God has long since made me and all of us realize that all our righteousness before God are as filthy rags. That's how it is written. And the same God has opened our eyes to the fact that a righteousness from God has been provided for us all at Calvary. But when you read that they are eager to bring their own righteousness to bear, and right behind it it says, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Yes, and so they are in their own righteousness. Coming back to the word that we have already read, I wanted to read again from the Gospel of John, the word we read many times here, John 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You all know this scripture, for this is the law and the prophets. God has revealed his righteousness on earth. It was very costly and therefore very valuable. But there was no man who could come before God. Abel was the first to offer the sacrifice before he approached God. And all those who approached God could not just come and say, "Here I am, dear God." Atonement and reconciliation were required. And on the cross of Golgotha, God provided an all-encompassing atonement. And we accept this gift from God. As a result, our own righteousness has been taken from us, and God's righteousness has been given to us. The word from Ezekiel that we have also read fits to it, that we, Ezekiel 18, with reference to the putting off of the old man. Yes, putting off and putting on. Ezekiel 18, from verse 30, it says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye." What a wonderful word from the Old Testament. We all know the other scriptures where God makes the promise, "I will give you a new heart, a new spirit. I will write my law in you." Here, we are addressed very personally. God said, "I will cast your iniquity behind me." He has done it into the sea of forgetfulness. But now the word is addressed to all of us. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart. God has given the pure heart, but we must put away the things that have defiled it, so that it will not be defiled again. For only the pure in heart will see God. And it says here, "And a new spirit, make you a new spirit." Yes, how am I to make a new heart for myself, as is required here, and a new spirit? We are told very clearly here. It is the same context. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? In looking up to God, we see that there is no contradiction here. No, we recognize what God has provided for us. A new heart, a new life, a new spirit, everything new, a new being. But we must put it on in faith. But we must also put off the old man in faith. And therefore, the word that we read together before we prayed, isn't it marvelous that God spoke so clearly through the prophets? Man must put his will into the will of God and must say, Lord, I believe that you have given me a new heart, and I cast behind me the things that have defiled me, so that I can go forward with you. You have given me a new spirit, and I now have the foundation for a new life through the new spirit in the new heart. This is actually the gospel for all of us. Thus saith the Lord here, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies. We are not destined to die. We are destined to live forever, because he died for us. Let us accept this today in perfect faith. Let us thank God that he will equip us inwardly with his power, so that everything he has promised us can also become a divine reality. How many want a life of God without much effort? Really, yes, a life with God, a walk with God, a new life. It is ready for us. But please, let us not be caught by God or people that we want to do or achieve it with our own righteousness, but that we recognize that nothing is done with our power. We will soon be lost, as the song goes, that we know that through Jesus Christ it has happened. He has accomplished it. New life for you and for me. A new heart for you and for me. A new spirit for you and for me. A life of God, the Spirit of God. Everything is there. And in the end, the nature of Jesus Christ will be revealed. But we must first leave behind the old, which stood and still stands in the way of the new, and then the new can come in. I hope, my brother, that this will happen to all of us. First, the old out, and then the new in. Yes. And then only one spring will gush forth from one heart, and that will then flow into eternal life. Then God will come into his own with all of us. Let us not despair, but let us thank God for giving us reflective moments and hours. What good would it do us if we went to hell with rejoicing? And that will happen to many. A great many will feel that way. This is not a judgment I'm making, but I know very well how many will pass by what God has done in this generation. and go their own way with trumpets and with hallelujahs and everything that goes with it. No, we want to be honest with ourselves and before God. What is not yet there, God is able to give overnight. And it is written, how shall he not with him also give us all things? I wish for myself a new heart, a new spirit, a new life, in fact, a new revival from God. And if it is possible, a new beginning, a really beautiful new beginning with God, in faith. The Jews, the Israelites, tried in their own way and not by faith. They were put to shame and did not reach the goal. We want to venture on the path of faith, looking up to God. And He will do for all of us what He has promised. And whatever we have to do in this matter, He will also give us the strength to be able to do it. Do you all believe it? He has promised it. He will do it. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Faithful God, I thank you with all my heart for your marvelous word. You have wonderfully ordered and provided everything. What we could not do, you have done. And what you ask of us, you are giving us the strength to do it. O beloved Lord, may our will and your will meet and come together, so that we may be found in your will. Faithful God, together we thank you that you have given us a new heart, a new life, a new spirit, a living hope by grace. And we thank you even now that you have also prepared the new Jerusalem and made it ready for the bride. To you, the Lord, the bridegroom of our souls, be praise and glory and worship forever. Amen.